The epistle is taken from that of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brethren, we will not have you ignorant concerning them that are asleep, that you be not sorrowful, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them who have slept through Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you in the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them who have slept. For the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with commandment, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead who are in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be taken up together with them in the clouds to meet Christ into the air. And so shall we be always with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. That taken from St. John. At that time, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But now also I know that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, although he be dead, shall live. And everyone that liveth and believeth in me shall not die forever. Believest thou this? She saith to him, Yea, Lord, I have believed that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, who art to come into this world. As far as the words of today's Holy Gospel, please be seated. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. These words are taken from the epistle of today's epistle of St. Paul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, when as many years as I have been the pastor here, I only knew a very little bit about Seal, other than she was a very strong Catholic, and very devoted for many years. Even Bishop Dolan remembers that she always made it a point over the years to make it here to Mass, to serve the one true God in the one and only way to serve him by the old Latin Mass and the old Latin faith. She was always strong in her faith. She was always a friendly character too, but I only knew tidbits. And last night I was hoping for some more little nuggets to pick up for my sermon. I came away with a few little good little stories. But sooner or later, I hope to get some more from the family, because Seal was such a lovely lady. I know that she was very strong in her Polish heritage. And one of the sons even mentioned that, well, you know all the Polish jokes that go around, that it was Seal that told her boys to just sort of man up to it and learn to accept it as it is and just laugh. Because if you can't laugh at yourself, well then, you're never going to make it. So she taught them a very good lesson in life. But now her Polish heritage is a little bit different. Now she has the heritage of the kingdom of heaven. So we pray this day. And she came off as a very sweet soul by all of those who met her in church and elsewhere, but her family saw another side to her. Not that she wasn't sweet and kind and very charitable. She was a very giving person. But they labeled her as sassy and a few other S adjectives that were very, very funny. But she was sassy. That, I thought, when I heard that, was the perfect way to describe Seal. I always remember her that way. When I would meet her in the back of church in the vestibule, she'd always have some silly thing to say, and then she'd have her hearty laugh. I love that laugh that she had. And then she'd go on with the conversation. But sassy, it's perfect fit for her. She was a hairdresser. I learned that last night. At first, she started off in nursing school, but she didn't quite make it through the nursing school. She left it and began to be a hairdresser. But along with a sassy personality and all of that came a very caring woman, very sensitive to the needs of others, who liked to volunteer for different charitable deeds. And what do we read that our Lord said to Saint Mary Magdalene? Other than charity covers a multitude of sins. If you're looking for a way to get rid of some of your sins, do an act of charity for Christ's sake. Not for your own, not because it makes you feel good, but for Christ's sake, do it. In his name, do an act of charity, for charity covers so many sins. And that, I would think, is the life of Seal, one of charity. As I said, she started out in nursing school, but then went on to be a hairdresser. I heard also that she would help with lunches for kids. And she is also in her military days, too. She did some other volunteer work there. But one son told me that Seal was a sergeant in the military. And the son told me then, and she never let us boys forget it a day in our life. But that is more of Seal. I think she fell in line, though. Taking this to the spiritual life, she fell in line with her patron saint. She had one of the most beautiful patronesses in Saint Cecilia. She is a patron, if you don't know, of choirs and singers, people that love music. She is their patroness. In fact, our choir here says before every practice that they do on Friday evenings, they say a beautiful prayer in honor of Saint Cecilia. We even have a nice picture painted by one of our parishioners here in the choir loft of Saint Cecilia. But it's the life of Saint Cecilia tells how when she was about to be taken and executed just for being Catholic, she was singing in her heart to her Lord. It was very joyful for her to be executed for Christ's sake. She was happy, always singing in her heart. So Seal was a bit like her patroness. She wasn't a singer. I couldn't imagine her singing, but maybe she was. But certainly she was a dancer. She was into that old style Polish dancing, and I guess was one of the best. And she taught the young children how to do it. And she was a lifelong member of this Polish dancing club, lifetime member. If you were at the wake last evening, you would have seen the bronze medal next to her casket that proved her lifelong membership there. But she was a dancer, and dancing, when done correctly, and not immodestly, is also a great sign of holy joy. It's a beautiful thing. Did you know that dancing is found all over sacred scripture? The infant Jesus, for instance, this isn't in scripture, but you remember the story of little Nellie of Holy God? She was a 4-year-old girl who was permitted by Pope St. Pius X to receive her first communion, even though she was well below the age that normally she would have received Holy Communion at. And she suffered much. She died at a very young age. But as she was on her sickbed, suffering so very much, the infant Jesus appeared to her and danced for her to cheer her up. There's another story, too, of how when Our Lady, at the age of 3, was presented in the temple, she was given over to the temple and to dedicate her life to God at the age of 3. This is something we just came across recently. She made it up the steps to the porch of the temple, and then she did a little dance out of joy, for now she was serving her Lord. And we, of course, know how King David in the Old Testament danced. He played his different musical instruments, and it says that he danced for joy in front of the ark, which contained the presence of God in it. But now, we hope that Cecilia will see not just an image, a prefiguration of God, but that at this moment, we hope and we pray, that she is seeing the reality, God face to face in the beatific vision, that for which we all long, to see God face to face, and there she would dance with joy, so to speak. But we here at St. Hugh's, we hold to the old faith, as it was taught and explained before Vatican II. We are not quite ready, therefore, to say that Seal is certainly in heaven. It's not up to us to canonize anyone, even if they were the most holy of souls. Well, it's possible that Seal is already in heaven. She had the last rites, the extreme unction, which gives the grace to die a holy death. She had frequent holy communion, the body and blood of our Lord, uniting himself to her and giving the strength that she needs to die well. She had the plenary indulgence of the apostolic blessing, which would take away at the moment of death all of the sin and the temporal punishment due to sin, so that she could, if she had all the right dispositions, fly immediately to heaven at the moment of death. But we hold to Catholicism, as I said, as it was before, as it was from the time of the apostles up until the changes of Vatican II. We therefore here believe in purgatory, and that souls who are not pure and white and perfect cannot enter the kingdom of heaven until all of the blemishes have been washed away by the purifying flames of purgatory or the sufferings here on earth. We assume, in other words, that someone we love is in purgatory, not heaven, because to do otherwise would be to lack real charity towards the souls who are there in purgatory, for we would leave them, abandon our loved ones to great suffering in purgatory if we fail to pray for them. This, by the way, is why we do not wear white vestments, and we do not put a white pall over the casket, as you will see in your local churches, but here we use the black vestments. You see, white is a symbol of joy and of festivity, celebration. And in the new rite, in your local parish, they will tell you that you are celebrating this person's life. While we here at St. Hugh's, who do it the way it always has been for centuries, we don't so much celebrate their life as we mourn their death. And the black symbolizes our mourning of a loved one. It symbolizes furthermore the penance, the prayers, the good works that we must offer up for this soul in this casket. And the black reminds us of those truths. It is nothing morbid. We do not love death or anything like that. We're like anyone else. We fear it. But it reminds us of what we owe to this soul who is here in this casket. You three sons of Seal, think of it. If your mother is in purgatory, you owe it, under the fourth commandment, to pray for her every single day of your life, to say a prayer for her. Whether you would like to think she's in heaven or not, it never hurts. Say a prayer. Offer up a sacrifice that she might be relieved of her pains in purgatory. It is a duty under the fourth commandment of God. And you, her sisters, you have an obligation too, one out of love. And all of you others, whether parishioners or myself, in one way or another, or other relatives, in one way or another, we are all bound to pray for the soul of Cecilia. And we should do so every single day of our life. That, my friends, that is the greatest act of charity that you can do for this soul. And charity covers a multitude of sins. If you're looking for a way to have your sins forgiven, it's charity. And it's charity towards Cecilia. Remember her. Don't ever forget her, but pray for her. Have masses offered for her. Offer up your sufferings for her. Do everything you can to help her to get to heaven, where she will then see for all eternity, dancing in her heart, she will see the beautiful face of God. And she will then have no more sufferings, no more tears, no more pains, but eternal joy and everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.